all the videos. For those of you listening online, you might want to get the video for this, but you can also Google these videos. And if you need the notes and things like that, you can certainly email the church website. For those of you here tonight taking notes, it's going to be pretty jam-packed tonight. So a lot of information for you to do the intro. But before we get to the book of Revelation, the whole intro, we've got to understand, where's America in prophecy? Because when you think of the book of Revelation, you think of prophecy, you think of end times. If you're taking notes, I need you to write this note down, because I'm going to be teaching through the book of Revelation. Pastor Chick loves me. Pastor Chick loves me. He does not hate me. I am not who he is talking about. Except for those places that apply, and I'll point to you. But we get a balcony view, folks. So it's every time I go through the book of Revelation, I got to write a little note up there. Smile. God loves these people. All right? So again, Pastor Chick loves you. I do not hate you, but I hate sin. I hate my own sin. So understand this as we go through the book of Revelation there. We get a balcony view. Again, we'll go through the church's revelation, the various things like that, but the church is going to be raptured out. I would encourage you to invite your family and friends to listen online, check the videos out. And that's the thing I like about online is like, hey, just check out our church. Just watch this for a while or listen to that and see if you can maybe handle it there. I love technology. And just invite them to church. And on Thursdays, we're going to be doing afterwards as an afterglow. So a time of worship. Come and prepare your heart. Get here before 7. Prepare your heart to meet and to worship God and to minister to Him. That's what worship's all about. And then to study God's Word, and then we'll have a time of afterglow of responding of just what God has given to us. And so that's our Thursday nights here. But here's a quick video. Well, they're not a quick video, but here's the video for you. You ready?
For every opinion or belief someone may hold, there will be another party who just as strongly opposed that idea. Both sides usually claim to sit with the best arguments, the real facts, and the correct worldview, and ironically, both sides regard the other as being indoctrinated, blind to the obvious, and outright stupid. Most people only expose themselves to information that matches their own worldview. It is uncomfortable to do otherwise. Still, we would like to give you some surprising information about Islam. We also urge you to look further than only mainstream media, and if you can find the time for it, read the Quran yourself. To get you started, we'd like to present you 3 things you probably did not know about Islam. 1. Islam has not been hijacked. That Islam has been hijacked is what non-Muslims naturally assume, because they assume all religions are the same. The reason non-Muslims are so easily confused is that most of us don't realize the difference between the Quran and every other religious book we are familiar with. The Christian Bible is a collection of writings from various authors, written sometimes hundreds of years apart, with parables, advice, and dreams, all collected together into one book. Same with the Jewish Torah. Even those of us in the West, who are neither Christians nor Jews, are still familiar enough with these religions to know this much, and therefore we assume the same is true for the Quran. But the Quran is only one book written by one man in his own lifetime. It is meant to be taken literally, and it's not full of symbolism or vague analogies. It is mostly direct commands. Of course, the Quran contains contradictory statements, just like other religious books. But the Quran itself provides the reader with a way to know what to do with the contradictions. It's explained in the Quran that if you have 2 passages that contradict each other, the one written later supersedes the one written earlier. Most Westerners are unaware that the peaceful, tolerant passages were written early in Muhammad's prophetic career. According to the Quran, those passages have been abrogated by later, more violent and less tolerant passages. So, when most Westerners hear jihadists quoting violent passages from the Quran, and then peaceful Muslims quoting peaceful passages, they interpret that the way they would if someone was quoting the Bible or the Torah. They think to themselves, oh, there must be many different and contradictory passages, like there are in other religious books, so Muslims can pick and choose what they like and justify whatever actions they want to take. But the Quran is nothing like that. There is no picking and choosing. It says very explicitly and in no uncertain terms that a Muslim must not alter or ignore any part of its very clear and direct message, or they will burn in a fiery torment forever. 2. Striving to institute worldwide Sharia law is a religious duty. Many people don't realize how politically oriented Islam is at its core. In fact, Islam is less of a religion than it is a religious ideology. It includes a mandatory and highly specific legal and political plan for the whole society, Sharia. There is no separation between the religious and the political in Islam. Rather, Islam and Sharia constitute a totalitarian means of ordering society at every level, including ritual worship, transactions and contracts, morals and manners, beliefs and punishments. In the Quran, Allah makes it clear that man-made governments, such as a democracy, and free speech, such as criticizing the Quran, are abominations and must be eliminated. The modern expression, creeping Sharia, is used to describe the slow, deliberate, and methodical advance of Islamic law in non-Muslim countries. Official Sharia courts already operate in the UK, handling cases ranging from divorce and financial disputes to domestic violence. Attempts to introduce Sharia in the legal system in Germany, Sweden, and other European countries are ongoing. While Sharia already has a foot in our door in the matter of minor disputes like inheritance and domestic violence, it should concern you that Sharia commands that drinkers and gamblers should be whipped, allows husbands to hit their wives, allows an injured plaintiff to exact legal revenge, literally an eye for an eye, commands that a thief must have a hand cut off, commands that homosexuals must be executed, orders unmarried fornicators to be whipped and adulterers to be stoned to death, orders death for both Muslim and non-Muslim critics of Muhammad, the Quran, and even Sharia itself, orders apostates to be killed, commands offensive, aggressive, and unjust jihad. As written in the Quran, Sharia is the law of Allah. Any other form of government is a sin. It is the duty of every Muslim to keep striving until all governments have been converted to Sharia law. Three, Muslims are allowed to deceive non-Muslims if it helps Islam. For non-Muslims, this principle, called taqiyya, is another surprising concept of Islam. While most other religions speak highly of truthfulness, the Quran instructs Muslims to lie to non-Muslims about their beliefs and their political ambitions to protect and spread Islam. There are many examples of today's Islamic leaders saying one thing in English for the Western press and then saying something entirely different to their own followers in Arabic a few days later. Deceiving the enemy is always useful in war, and Islam is at war with the non-Islamic world until the whole world follows Sharia law. All non-Muslims living in non-Islamic states are therefore enemies. So deceiving Westerners is totally acceptable, even encouraged, if it can forward the goals of the spread of Islam. As a recent example, the Islamic American Relief Agency was seemingly raising money for orphans, but in fact giving the money to terrorists. They deceived good-hearted Western infidels into giving money to organizations that were actively killing Western infidels. Do the research yourself. This is not an isolated case. Islam as a religion of peace. Muslim organizations worldwide often declare that Islam is a religion of peace. But what does that really mean? It seems easy for a Muslim to quote a peaceful verse from the early part of the Quran, while, by following the principle of taqiyya, neglecting to mention the fact that it has been officially abrogated by later, more violent verses. According to the Quran, the world will be at peace only when Islam and Sharia reign in every country, and never until then. This is why every Muslim can truthfully say that Islam is a religion of peace. If any of these points took you by surprise, then there is surely much more you still don't know. This subject will affect you in the near future, so take the chance to inform yourself now before it does.
Well, folks, this was done quite a few years ago, and this is not done by a Christian group. This was done by some seculars. This was already, if you notice the accent, it already happened in the UK. The UK's lost. On Sunday, he's not here today, but ask Osa. He's living in here. He did everything he could to come to live in the United States from Kenya and then to England. And now he's here and he's migrating. He's been here since January. So you can talk about it. I've visited the UK. It's lost. It's gone. Islam's taken over. And this is going to affect us in the near future, and it's going to play out politically for us, but also spiritually, and it's going to deal with the book of Revelation. So this is three things you possibly didn't know about Islam. So here's the first thing. We know about the first mosque in America, Cedar Rapids. A friend of mine, Jeremy Higgins, pastors. Not at the mosque, at the Calvary Chapel in Cedar Rapids. But all right? First mosque in Israel, in America. Who is the first political leader who's a Muslim elected to office? Keith Ellison, right here in Minnesota. We have that, our first congressman right there. And this is the whole thing. I want you to understand this about Islam, and I'm going to talk about this. Number of Muslims in the United States doubled since 9/11. These are the various things right here. Muslims in America divided on improving images in 10 years. I've worked within law enforcement, the Ramsey County, and the various other counties around here. Here's the thing that happened. Back in the 70s, the Lutherans, good Lutherans as they are, brought over many of the boat people with hot dish, and brought many of them over, and we know in the Hmong community here in Minnesota, they own University Avenue now. They've basically taken over. They've assimilated, they're part of America, and they want to be part of America. The Muslims from West Africa, the Sunnis, the Shiites, those who have been immigrating in Ethiopia, Somalia, have been coming in. Again, our county thought, well, we took in another people group, let's Minnesota do it again. They do not want to leave the 7th century. They are not going to get off the government dollar. They believe everyone owes them. This is Sharia and what they want. I'm telling you right now, before we get to the end, I'll give you the punchlines at the end. Let's pray for them. We do not have to go over to foreign lands anymore to share the gospel. They're coming to us. It's a lot easier. I'm telling you that. Very efficient. But understand this.
Just to show where our loyalty belongs to. You see this flag here? It's going to go on the floor. And to us, our loyalty does not belong to this flag. Our loyalty belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah.
So that's right here in New York City. That's the months just before the 9/11 10-year anniversary and celebration of that. And that's what they're doing. This is in New York City. Hey, praise God. They have the freedom to do that. I defended my country. Many of you others here have defended this country for the right for them to do that. But you cannot do this in any other country. I want you to understand, this is going to affect us, and this is prophetic as well. And we're going to go through, when we go through the book of Revelation, you'll see how this plays out. And so you see the various things that are maybe creeping into the stores. Hey, I like a certain hot sauce. I like certain things. I've talked to my store managers, various grocery stores. Hey, could you bring in this product? Could you do this, do that? Well, the same thing. This is halal food. This is at Costco. This is Sam's Club. This is Restaurant Depot. But there's something a little deceptive about it. It's not kosher like kosher food is, and there's something else they do with the processing. You go look online and find out. But there's a little trick that they're playing here with you and I. Understand this. The whole thing about Sharia and about law and the creeping in and about people. Remember, one of the things that they're talking about is in Rochester, 5 years ago, if you remember, there was this mosque that was going around collecting money for widows and orphans. And they busted him, what, 2 years ago? 2.5, almost 3 years ago? And that was money that was straight going to Al-Qaeda and to, not Taliban. Taliban, understand this, is local. That's like Afghanistan. That's local tribal. Al-Qaeda is worldwide. And it was going to Al-Qaeda to kill our U.S. soldiers. And people were giving up. You see, you understand? You try to equate Christianity or even Judaism or any other religion, even Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and you think it's the same as Islam, and it is not. So here's the challah food. This is right here in Costco. Well, I took a picture of this. That's right in Costco, folks. Anyone go to Costco? Here's your challah food. Here's some things you have to find out about it. They put a tax in it. The Muslim Brotherhood, and there really is only like two really big Muslim challah-producing food processing plants, and they put a tax in it. You buy challah food, there's a tax that's in there, that's hidden in there, and that money, guess who it goes to? It goes to Islamic Brotherhood. It goes to Al-Qaeda. It goes to terrorists to blow up cities and our troops overseas here. In fact, in France, you can look this up online. All the stuff I'm getting here is from the internet, and I've already searched it out, but search it out yourself. If you're taking notes, Acts 17:11 says, don't believe a word Pastor Chick says, but be more noble of the Bereans and search out every scripture that I'm saying to see if it's true or not. That's Acts 17:11. The Bereans were of more noble character, for they searched out what Paul said intently every day, seeing the scriptures are true. So you do the same thing. You have to go, people have sent me stuff, and I've researched it, found out it's false. Don't believe everything on the internet, but I'm trying to give you some stuff here. But again, search it out for yourself. So here's an article in France. They found out the same thing. Oh, let's be tolerant of France. Let's be tolerant of the Muslims. Let's be tolerant of this. Now in France, they've actually, when we were there a couple of years ago, have passed a law that no more covering from the face. You have to have facial recognition for ID, and that's a big hubbub of the whole thing. And they were arresting. And that time, when we were in, Kimberly and I were in France, there was women, because it was cold, they were carrying their hadith over their heads and stuff like that, but police were stopping them, making them, hey, if you're going into a building where security is, you need to see your face and facial recognition. Well, they found out the same thing here as well, as far as the tax that is going in. So all the halal food you're buying directly goes to the war.
All right, check out this website. Four Christian missionaries were at an Arab festival over in Dearborn, Michigan, when they had a huge run-in with police. They said they did nothing wrong. They were just handing out copies of the Gospel of John, but police cuffed them, arrested them for disorderly conduct. And you're seeing what happened. Joining us right now, one of the men who was arrested, David Wood, and his lawyer, Robert Muse, is also here. He's over in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Welcome to both of you. First off, David, why were you there working the camera?
Well, I was there to have discussions, to discuss anything that anyone wanted to discuss. We like having conversations with Muslims. My friend Nabil is a former Muslim. And so we were there to engage in dialogue. And I noticed when we were there, since Nabil's a former Muslim, more people wanted to talk to him. So I just sort of stepped back and held a camera.
So you watched, you recorded it, and it was taken away from you, and you were jailed, and you were out. You were charged with breach of peace. When he walked over there, Robert, I guess he did disturb the peace for the Arab festival. They were not happy Christians were showing up. Were they wrongly charged, in your mind?
The Christians were the only ones that were charged. And you know, it's interesting. It wasn't the Christians that were breaching the peace. It was the hecklers, the Muslims who were actually making threats to them, who were shouting profanity. And the constitutional response for the police department is not to silence the peaceful speaker, the Christians, but to silence the hecklers. And what the police did here is they essentially effectuated the heckler's veto, and that's a problem. And instead, what we have now, we have four Christians who are locked up and spent an evening in the jail for doing nothing more than expressing their religious beliefs. You know, in our country, we're not governed by Sharia law. We're governed by the Constitution, and we have a First Amendment that protects those rights.
And, David, you're, from your understanding, you're just exercising freedom of speech, right?
Yes, and to be clear, I wasn't even speaking at all. And three out of the four of us who were arrested weren't speaking at all. We were standing there recording or listening. Only one of us was actually speaking, and we were all arrested.
Right. Is this more, were they adhering to Sharia law in their arrest? Because it doesn't seem to be going by our Constitution.
Well, that was my point. Again, our Constitution protects the right to free exercise of religion, the right to freedom of speech. Under Sharia law, you don't have those particular rights. You know, it's probably not a coincidence that in a city where you have the largest Muslim population in the United States, that you have police who are persecuting Christians. You know, and this pattern of conduct has got to stop. You know, the Law Center, the Thomas More Law Center, we consider ourselves the sword and shield for people of faith. And we're breaking out the shield right now to defend these criminal charges, but we're also going to pull out the sword, and there will be a civil rights action.
Robert Muse will follow this. David Wood.
So what you have here, this is Dearborn, Michigan, largest Muslim population in the United States. And this is what happened with these folks here. So again, we're seeing the things that are just popping up here. We'll see this also. Do you realize that if you're a Muslim, you don't have to pay interest rate on home mortgages? It's against Sharia law. There's mortgage companies. Would you like to not to pay? Right there, I'm not asking you guys to convert to Islam right now, but right there, some people are like, I'm thinking that's a pretty good deal right there. All right, but it's against Sharia law, and it's against their religion to pay interest. So yeah, there are companies that are doing loans with them, but again, they can't do that. Do you know that they're from this Obamacare, if it passes and goes into law in 2014, Muslims are exempt from the Obamacare because it's paying insurance, and that's like gambling, and they can't gamble, and they're exempt from it. It's right there in the package right there, folks. Jerry Boykin, one of the founding officers of the U.S. Delta Force, was speaking, and he made the point that Lieutenant Boykin agreed, if you walk down the streets of Dearborn, Michigan, you would think that you were in Beirut or Damascus. Folks, can you go down to university? Can you read every sign that's in every shop there? I have nothing problem with the Hmong. They've totally assimilated. They're Christians, they're Buddhists, they're whatever. I mean, they're fine and stuff like that. They're producers in society. Islam does not want to leave the 7th century, folks. And they continually want more and more and more. And so that's the things you're going here. Again, one of the founding officers of the Delta Force there, Jerry Boykin.
You may be surprised to learn that there is a growing influence of traditional Islamic law on decisions that are being made in U.S. courts. It is shocking some, and that has led one lawmaker to try to amend his state's constitution. It's part of the Save Our State initiative in Oklahoma. It's expected to pass in the November elections. Critics, though, call this anti-Muslim. A warning about this story. Some of this video may be a bit difficult to watch, folks. Douglas Kennedy joins us live in our New York newsroom. Hey, Douglas.
Hey, Martha. Currently, Oklahoma judges are required to only consider state law when making their decisions. One man wants to make sure it stays that way. Rex Duncan wants to make sure no judge ever uses Sharia law to decide a case in Oklahoma.
Are there any judges here in Oklahoma currently using Sharia?
Not yet, and you know what? There won't be any with passage of 755.
Sharia is the basis of religious law in most Islamic countries and has been used in Iran and Somalia to condone harsh punishments like beatings and stonings. Duncan, who is a Republican state rep, is the chief architect of a ballot referendum prohibiting state judges from considering Sharia or any international laws when making rulings.
So give me the scenario that makes this necessary in Oklahoma.
CARE's mission statement, they're not here just to be one of many religions, but here to be the dominant religion.
Still, establishing Sharia is unlikely, especially here in Oklahoma, where Muslims make up less than 2% of the total population and wield very little political power.
It's not about Sharia law at all. It's really all about anti-Muslim bigotry.
Razi Hashmi is from the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, in Oklahoma.
It just sends a message of hatred and intolerance, and those are not American values.
Now, Muslims here in Oklahoma say this is anti-American and is motivated by hate and intolerance of Muslims in general. What do you say to that?
That's ridiculous. This is the picture of what is American.
Measure will pass with one of the greatest margins.
So right now, why? Because Oklahoma is next to Texas. Why is that a big deal? Sharia law is in existence in some of the counties in the state of Texas. Texas, come on, you're a republic. I thought you guys were holding out. But that's happening right now in the state of Texas, where women who have now become American citizens are trying to get divorces from their husbands who are beating them because the Quran says you can take. That's the whole rule of thumb, by the way, folks. I don't know where that comes from, the rule of thumb. You can't get a switch thicker than your thumb, and that you can beat your wife and your children. Remember what I've said as we've gone through the book of Matthew? You can judge any religion by how they treat women and children, and that's all you need to know. Check out Islam, what they do. There's honor killings and stuff like that. We can just go and go on. There's so much stuff, I can't even go on to this. But it's even happening here in Minnesota where they're saying, well, there's problems with the Muslims. Hey, what's your clan leaders? What's your tribal leaders? Because you know why? That worked with the Hmong population. Do you know there's only 12 basic names in the Hmong community here? Of a couple hundred, like 350,000 Hmong that are in the state of Minnesota, there's only 12 names. And you don't understand this in the Hmong population, why women keep their names? It's because the women, it's their name is the surname, and they keep their name. That's why you might see a Hmong man and a woman, but they have different last names, because she has property rights. Even in Shinto Buddhism, even in Hmong culture, and even though stuff, women are treated much better than Muslims. And so here's the thing when it comes to this.
Victory in Oak.
Is that, I want you to understand this, pray for Muslims. Pray for Muslims, please. We don't have to go to foreign lands right now, they're coming here. But understand they want Sharia. They want Sharia, they want this, that's their land. It's in every country. It has happened. The UK is lost. France is lost. Europe is lost to the Muslims. And they're still a small population. You're saying, I don't think that really. I mean, we're only talking 1 or 2%, really? Are there unjust laws right now in our books about giving favored status to people who choose a sexual behavior, homosexuality, or... Do you know, again, For those in homosexuality, there's this whole thing about why defining marriage, why to do those things, why do we have to do those in the constitutions? Because it was never really a question before. But now we have to write laws to say, make sure Sharia doesn't come in. And the same thing. Follow the money. Listen up, folks. Follow the money. Who is the greatest supporter of the same-sex marriage and wanting to be that? Mamba. Men and boys together. Pedophiles. Because once that goes, and they've also been trying to, once it's the same-sex marriage is approved, their next agenda is to lower the consent of the age of sex. That's right on the, and I, please don't go to their websites. But that stuff is very well documented, and I have an internet stuff that I'll show you some stuff later, and information about that. But follow the money. They are getting their greatest support for that. And it's through all these fake corporations and names and things like that. Pray for Muslims. Pray for every sinner, folks, on the way. But again, let's not hate these folks. This thing is coming in because we're not doing anything about it. All right? And so here's the thing. Let's get everybody saved. Not going to get everybody saved. If you're not going to go out there and evangelize, please vote. But understand this. Pray for Muslims. Pray for this Muslim population and that you would be a true witness. And here's the thing I can tell you about Muslims. I've led more Muslims to the Lord than Jews. There's a veil over their eyes. Jews. I just sow seeds for them. Here's the thing about true, sincere Muslims. They are seeking God. But they're seeking a false God, Allah. And they are open to it. Like a porcupine, a little prickly, but once you get past that, they're warm and cuddly and gushy and chewy inside, right? They're good. And if you're sincerity and you know that they love them, they know that you love them and care about them, they'll let you talk to them. They'll let you talk to them. So be faithful to be a good witness and do not hate. Do not try to retaliate. No political system whatsoever is going to bring us salvation. Jesus brings us salvation. But if we get everybody saved, then we don't have to worry about all the other political stuff. But here's things. The 545, rule America. 545 people rule 350 million people in America. Just 545 people. 545 people rule America. And that is what we talk about here today. Have you ever wondered if the politicians are against inflation and high taxes? Then why do we have inflation and high taxes? If both Democrats and Republicans say we're against high taxes and inflation, why is it? And you and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on the appropriations. The House of Representatives do. What I mean about 545 people, there's one president, 11 Supreme Court justices, 435, I think it is, congressmen, and then 100 senators. We're given, I think it's roughly the number is 545 people. The Supreme Court, the president, the House, the Senate, and the Congress, that comes up to 545 people. If they really, really want it, that controls the lives of 350 million people, folks, here in the United States. You and I don't write tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices equates to 545 human beings. 545 human beings out of 350 million in the United States are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country today. 545 people. And again, exclude the Federal Reserve Board because Congress, elected them to be the monetary fiscal managers in 1913. So that's still Congress's fault. Now let's exclude the special interests and lobbyists for sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator, a congressman, or a president to do one thing against their will. I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept it or reject it. No matter what the lobbyist promises, it is the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes. Those 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that they did this, convincing you that what they did is not their fault. They cooperate, Republican, Democrat, Independent, all of them together, all 540 of them are in this common con game regardless of the party. What separates a politician from a normal human being is the excessive amount of gall. No moral human being would have the gall of a speaker. who stood up and criticized the president for creating deficits. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force the Congress to accept it. The Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating and approving the appropriations and taxes. Who is the Speaker of the House right now? John Boehner, Republican. It's the majority right now. He is the leader of the majority party. He and his fellow House members, not the president, can approve any budget they want. And if the president vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto. It seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 350 million cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by the present facts of incompetence or irresponsibility. That's what it is. Incompetence or irresponsibility. I can't think of a single domestic problem that is not traceable directly to these 545 people. When you fully grasp the plain truth, 545 people exercise the power of the federal government, then it must follow that what exists because they want it. If the tax code is unfair, it's because they want it unfair. If the budget is in the red, it's because they want it in the red. If the Army and the Marines are in Iraq and Afghanistan, it's because they want them in Iraq and Afghanistan. If they do not receive Social Security, but an elite retirement plan, they have their own. They're out of the Social Security system, and they get their own retirement plan. By the way, when a congressman, senator, whatever leaves office, they voted themselves that whatever's in his war chest, whatever he raised in campaigns, he gets to take that too. And that's why there's all these guys that, by the way, they hold off. Well, I don't know if I'm going to run. I don't know if I run. They collect all these millions, all these billions and billions and billions. And then they say, I'm going to retire. They get to take all that. Who voted for that? I didn't vote for that. Did you vote for that? No. They voted for that for themselves. They're passing all these laws. There are no insoluble government problems. There's nothing that can't be solved. Do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish, to the lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to the regulators to whom they give the power to regulate and from whom they can take their power. Above all, do not let them con you into belief that there exists some disembodied mystical force known as the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what they have taken an oath to do. I kicked some kids off a youth retreat or a mission operator that we're going to do. And some of the older kids said, you three kids, you're not going to go. I sat down with their parents and stuff like that, and they were the oldest kids. And he said, you guys are bullies, you're this and that. I'm not going to take you out. Me and Kimberly took a bunch of youth out, and we for like 6 weeks going around the Minnesota doing church planting and doing these things. We took these kids, and these three kids, you know what the response was? I said, why are you guys this way? They go, peer pressure. I go, peer pressure? And all the parents are sitting there, yeah, peer pressure. I go, you guys don't understand. You're the oldest. You're the peers. You're the ones the younger ones don't want around. You're right, peer pressure. You're the peers. You're out of here. You're not going. Remember that chip, T.A.? That was a pretty cool chip, wasn't it? You're on it. All right. Welcome back there. He made it. All right. Those 445 people, and they alone are irresponsible. So this mystical thing, economy, inflation, all this kind of stuff. No, no, no. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable by the people who are their bosses. You and I. Provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees. We should vote all of them out of office and clean up their mess. Again, this was written by Charlie Reese, who is a columnist in the Orlando Sentinel newspaper. Any of you guys ever see that movie, what about Marley, whatever, that cute little puppy movie? That's this guy. And so he wrote that when he left. He says, what do you think this article is up to? It might be funny if it weren't true, but be sure to read all the way, again, to the text. Listen to this poem. Tax is bed. Be sure to tax his land, tax his bed, tax the table at which he's fed. Tax his tractor, tax his mule, teach him taxes are the rule. Tax his work, tax his pay, he works for peanuts anyways. Tax his cow, tax his goat, tax his pants, tax his coat. Tax his ties, tax his shirt, tax his work, tax his dirt. Tax his tobacco, tax his drink, tax him if he tries to think. Tax his cigars, tax his beers, if he cries, tax his tears. Tax his car, tax his gas, find other ways to pass a tax. Tax all he has, then let him know that you won't be done till he has no dough. When he screams and hollers, then tax him some more, tax him till he's good and sore. Then tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he's laid. Put these words upon the tomb, taxes drove me to my doom. When he's gone, do not relax. It's time to apply the inheritance tax. Accounts receivable tax. Listen to these taxes, folks. Listen to these taxes. Accounts that we pay every day. Just don't think of income tax. Federal or state, but look at this. Accounts receivable tax. Building permit tax. Commercial driver license tax. Cigarette tax. Corporate income tax. Dog license tax. Lost on that one. Excise taxes. Federal income tax. Federal unemployment tax. Fishing tax. That hurts a lot of us here. Food tax. That gets me too. Fishing license, food license tax, fuel permit tax, gasoline tax. Currently, 65 cents a gallon that you're paying right now is taxes. And then there's state and local and all these other kinds of stuff like that. Do you realize the gallon of gas right now should only cost us barely $1.80? The rest of it is all taxes, folks. Gross receipts tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax, IRS interest. Inventory tax, that's a crack up. You've already manufactured. You've already, as a manufacturer, bought all this stuff. You produced it and built the product. If it sits on the shelf the following year, you get taxed for the inventory because that's capital gains and you have to pay that ahead of time. That's right. Inventory tax, inheritance tax, IRS interest charges, IRS penalties on top of the tax you already owe. Liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage license tax. I'm not talking about fees to apply for these permits. These are the taxes added on to the permits for these things. Personal property tax, Medicare tax, property tax, real estate tax. I couldn't figure that one out. Property tax, real estate tax. But again, that goes to boats and to planes and everything like that. Service charge tax, social security tax, road usage tax, recreational vehicle tax, sales tax, school tax, state income tax, state unemployment tax, telephone and federal excise tax. You ever look at your phone, your landline or your cell phone? There's a tax you're paying there. Telephone federal universal service fee tax. Have you figured out what that one's for? Telephone federal state and local surcharges taxes. Telephone minimum usage surcharges. If you don't use it enough, you get taxed. I looked that one up. How am I getting taxed for using this? And then telephone minimum usage surcharge tax. So, again, some of you are looking for a reason to talk more on your cell. There you go. Telephone state and local tax. Telephone usage charge. This is six taxes just for one phone. Utility taxes. Vehicle license registration tax. Vehicle sales tax. Watercraft registration tax. Well permit tax. You've got a well. There's water underneath your property. It's not yours. You got to pay a tax. Workers' compensation tax. This is going on every day, folks. 545 people did this to us. Let's put it around. You and I did it to ourselves. Do you know who you get into office? Still think this is funny? 100 years ago to the day, none of these taxes existed. Not a one. Not one of them. We had the largest middle class in the world. Mom stayed home to raise the kids. Oh, by the way, 100 years ago, there was no national debt. Want to know about the national debt right now? The current president, all right, the current president has spent more, the national debt has increased under his watch in 3.5 years, more than the 43 presidents before him combined. We're up to $20 trillion in the national debt. Can't pay that back. We're at a tipping point, folks. And if taxes were really there? So here, mom stayed home to raise the kids. Can you spell politician? Charlie Reese, and this is some other things. And those are some other things I added that Charlie Reese didn't put those down. 545. So let's talk about America when it comes to prophecy. Like that flag? Isn't that cool? That's in Iowa. That's in Iowa. Fly over it, man. A town got together. They planted sod. This is America. How about this one? You can go to the current president's website, and if you want to get his new design flag, go to Obama.com, folks. You want to see? Folks, this isn't just a campaign slogan. You go and read this online. I just, this last couple of weeks, I'm just afraid to even put this up. This had to be Snoops.com. This had to be a joke. This is what he's proposing for the new United States flag. Think that's coming? Look at his plans for the United States. You want that flag? You can get those right now. You think that's Joe? Let's see what she has to say. Let's see what she has to say. There's not going to be any volume on this. But this is this year, September, 9/11. They're having the thing of the unveiling of the new World Trade Centers, the towers and everything like that. She leans over while the whole parade's going on. You can get the whole clip. And she leans over. And she mouths some words to him. All this for a flag. You try to do it. Whoever can lip read, whatever. I mean, they're doing all slow speed. They're doing whatever they can and stuff like that. It was lip readers who were, because they can't hear television. So you got deaf people calling in. Did she really say that? I mean, was that, because they're like, is it really happening there? Is he just smirking all this for a flag? Sickening, isn't it? I got some hope for you, living just a bit there. Hang in there with me, all right? All this for a flag. You can go to the whole clip. You can go to the whole thing. Try to do it. They're doing a slow speed, whatever, like that. And he's like, mm-hmm. We already know. You've already seen the clips. All of him never crossing his hands for the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem or all those things. He barely wears the flag pen on this thing, but on his lapel. He's all about... So this is the thing, folks. This is America. I get to a point why this is going this way here. But did she really say that? I don't know. We don't have the words. We don't have the audible, but you have all these deaf people who called in who are like, this is what she said. Oh, no, she didn't say that. They're like, I read lips. I can't believe that. They thought it was big news that she would say this, but they're like, oh, there's no audio of it. But yet, again, I have friends who are deaf, and sometimes they can translate for me. But sometimes I want to know what the person is saying in the restaurant across the way. So they go, that's like eavesdropping. We've had folks with stuff like that. They were talking, they were signing one another, and I watched one of them go like this. I go, what are they doing? She's not listening. Because their sign is like, makes sense. Did she really say that? Did she really say that? Well, you guys be the judge. Come on, man. Check this out. It's a flag over Lake County, Florida, Democratic National Headquarters. Just a few months ago, they finally took it down because some veterans kept circling the building. Veterans who fought for the top flag. Folks, I'm not making this up. This isn't Photoshop. This stuff's really going on. So let's see what's a thing in America. What about prayer? What happened back in the 60s and prayer and the Bible taken out of schools and stuff? You look at both government institutions. One, the Bible can't be read in the school, and yet in the prisons, they want you to read the Bible. Both government institutions.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
More human beings were slaughtered in the 20th century than all previous centuries combined.
We're talking a congressional record, 135 million dead.
Their entire purpose was to detach our culture from any moral anchors whatsoever.
You look at the changes in America since 1960, perhaps. The whole culture has been transformed.
They're coming out of the belief that the village should raise the child. And the village means the government.
They have deliberately destroyed the American family, understanding that's the foundational block that builds a society.
We've come from Norman Rockwell's America to, Hugh Hefner's America.
If we lose the Judeo-Christian framework, we're lost forever.
The left wants you to think that the cultural changes that have taken place in America since the 1960s have done nothing but progress us forward toward a brave new world. This film will show that the brave new world they seek is nothing more than the failed policies and ideologies of the communism that enslaved over a third of the world's population during the 20th century. It will show that most people on the left aren't communist, just the useful idiots Lenin spoke of, being used to promote a socialist agenda, which is the first and necessary step toward communism.
I think this is one of the most serious threats to our country at the present time.
It will show they've done everything in their power to dumb down our children, undermine our families, rewrite our history, and promote obscenity and immorality everywhere that they can.
They look at what holds society together, they understand it, but they don't want that. They want change, and they will subvert and rot every good and decent thing we believe in, because they have a vision for a new society, and that must mean the replacement of the old society.
This film will show why the ideas that now dominate our educational system are focused on removing God and His influence from every part of our culture.
They basically try to say that the state itself is ultimate, that there's nothing, no law higher than the state, and if there's no law higher than the state, there's no appeal against it.
They're training them for the collective, and a collective mindset, and a dependency mindset.
And it seems that they, again, want to have people be uneducated, so then they do become wards of the state. They're dependent on the government to provide everything for them.
History has proven beyond any doubt that the free enterprise that freedom produces provides more for anyone willing to work than any other system. So why would the left still be pushing their socialist agenda on us? I mean, it's really just microwave communism. There's only two possibilities. They're either ignorant or they're evil. From my investigation over the last 2 years into what has caused America's drastic decline, I'm sorry to say the left won't be able to use the ignorant card. They've left too much evidence of their agenda in their books, articles, and speeches. No, America has an enemy that is getting very close to accomplishing its plan of destroying the greatest country in all world history.
So this video was done a few years ago, early on, and I think just before, just right after President Obama was elected, but I think it was before, so they were warning about this. And the fact, so you see that picture of him, that wasn't him as, you know, I think that was his inauguration, I think that was, but it was kind of added in there. But understand, this was going on well before President Obama, so I don't think he's the Antichrist. And here's the thing, when it comes to voting this year and stuff like that, I don't think we have the greatest choices to choose from. All right? But again, find out who your local people are. Do you know the Soils Conservationist Commissioner can take your house away? If they come and declare that your house a wetland, they can take it away. Do you know eminent domain was a thing known to just for when they built 94, when they tore a full Rondo neighborhood, brought the 94 through, they declared eminent domain, gave everyone fair market value, what they thought it was, and evicted everybody and built the highway through? It isn't that for anymore. Eminent domain now can be for economic development. Happened here in St. Paul. You go to the Little Oven, that parking lot that everyone likes to park at, those were all businesses. And they weren't producing as much. And people said, oh, who cares? It was a tattoo shop and something else, a little cell phone place. Who cares? Whatever. It'll increase the business. And so they declared eminent domain, evicted everybody, tore it down to the parking lot. And you think, well, I like Little Oven. Great. Wasn't your business, was it? You understand? So those are those things that are just going on. So the economic values and things like that now can be declared for eminent domain. Soils conservationists. That's a guy you vote for, by the way, folks. The dog catcher. You're voting for. Who is this? So when you're looking at your ballots and stuff like that, what about our sheriff? What about the county prosecutor? Are they strict constitutionalists? Because when I go to jail or when I go to a jury, do you think they're going to put one pastor on that jury? Do you think they're going to put one NAR card member holder on that jury? Do you think that I am actually going to be judged? What is it said about jury? You're either too lazy or too stupid or too ignorant to get out of jury duty those are the ones who are going to be on your jury. I try getting on juries. Every time I go, I'm ready for it. They do not want me on those juries. All right, I've even tried to keep it low key as best I can, but I can't. And we don't want that guy. No one wanted that guy. So understand this, when it comes to our nation, 545 people rule America. So why do I go through all this and explain to you? Look, there's things happening right now. Taking the Ten Commandments out, the American Civil Liberties Union, taking the Ten Commandments out of various public places and stuff. Prayers before city councils and meetings. Challenged. Unconstitutional. You can't do those things anymore. You're invoking the name of Jesus. Police chaplains. I know this guy, Terry Sarton in North Carolina, police chaplain. You're fired. You're gone. We can't say in Jesus' name anymore. But that's what I need to be true to. This just happened this last year. A Calvary Chapel pastor, prominent. I know the guy personally and stuff like that. Many police chaplains. This is going on throughout the nation. I thought this last moral when I was at, I thought I was finally going to be fired. That's it. Because I invoked it. I said, because I am a Christian in Jesus' name. Did you guys check out the YouTube thing? Go to the city's website there. You don't even have my prayer, my invocation, or my benediction. I'm cut out of the whole thing. That's how they dealt with me. I'm like, man, I had the office packed. I had everything ready to go. We're gonna make a stand on this. 16 years of ministry there. If they're gonna, no, they just cut me out. Welcome to Minnesota. I can't believe it. Just no eye contact, and I'm just telling you that. IRS, now National Pulpit Freedom. How'd you like Sunday, folks? IRS has gone around and they've sent letters out for the last year, so they said, do not. You're gonna have your 501c3 is gonna be taken away. Take it! The taxes, churches are gonna be tax exempt for a time and a being or whatever, but they're not gonna cease to be a church because it's a little piece of paper. None of that kind of stuff. They're threatening, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. I know, every one of you have promised to visit me in jail at least once. But you'll get bored, you'll lose after a while, but I have a great prison ministry there. But they're literally doing these things, folks. That's what's happening. What about this generation? What do we need to be focusing on right now? We need to be praying for the Muslims. We need to pray for everyone who's lost in religion, but especially the Muslims. And that's going to come into play in prophecy and what's happening with our nation and where we're going and what it's leading to. Folks, understand this. The Bible is true. One day, every nation will be against Israel. And we're going to be studying through the book of Revelation. We're not going to get away from Israel. And understand this, 30 years ago when I began to study the Bible, 31 years ago when I became a Christian, started studying the Bible and finding out about all these things. And I've taught through the book of Revelation a couple of times now in the 21 years here. This will be my third time. But I'm teaching through. I want you to understand how I'm going to teach you the book of Revelation. We got a balcony view and we're out of here. But you need to be equipped and let people know these things are coming to pass. You could not have told me 31 years ago that America would turn its back on Israel. No way. Unbelievable. Even as a pagan, even as a United States Marine, that would be foolish to turn our backs on our only ally in that area, in that part of the country. Militarily. Then I become a Christian. I find out biblically what's going on. It's our little timepiece here. And so here's the thing, folks. I understand. What do we need to be focusing on? Maybe you got the volume there? Let's go for this. Got a new battery in there. Here we go. The largest generation in the... Who are they?
My name is Richard. So what else do you need to know?
I'm not a perfect person.
I have to do my education first. So basically, you can't do anything without an education.
But I continue. I never meant to do those.
Right now, in this day and age, I think getting a college education is just essential.
So I have to say before I go.
Very important. So they determine, you know, how the world go on and how I'll grow up. How my society going to be.
I mean, everything from, you know, what's going on in the Middle East affecting, you know, oil prices, this all directly affects me and what I can do on a daily basis.
You can go in and you can read, like, 10 different newspapers, and they're all at the brink of your fingertips. And I try to read multiple ones so I can see, you know, what this one says, what that one says, and see how they correlate.
different ethnicities has never been a big deal to me, really.
But in my life, personally, I really don't see race as that much of an issue anymore.
I really had no faith in the government.
As a typical American, I have only so much exposure to unbiased media.
I definitely trust my family and friends more than media. I trust more probably my friends than the government.
Instead of people making a lot of money, they're actually leaving their high-paying jobs to take less money to be more happy with themselves.
Am I realistic? Yeah, I'm definitely realistic. You gotta be sharp, you gotta be smart, you gotta be quick on your feet.
Yeah, I'm a very logical person, you know. I have questions just about everything in life.
Just thinking about, you know, what's gonna happen to me 10 years down the road.
I think September 11th made a big impact.
Kind of opened people's eyes. Now it's like, no one knows what's going to happen.
To put people first, and if you can help other people do good, it only makes you better as a person.
Of course, I'm going to want a job that definitely I would want to do, because as the quote goes, if you like your job, you've never worked a day in your life.
Yeah, I like someone looking at me as a good person.
Just work as hard as you can to succeed in life, do what you got to do, just keep striving, not give up. And basically be successful.
I think my generation's going to change a lot. That's going to happen in the upcoming years.
Folks, the information I'm giving here, these aren't from Christian websites. I'm going right to the source. These are the kids reporting on themselves and what they're about, and they're trying to get a community. I don't know what's going to happen in this election. There's 80 million of them, and they're of voting age. And there's this silent group that they're not really outspoken. They're not the undecided, whatever. So either Mitt Romney has to win by a very landslide margin, because you know President Obama, all three of his elections that he's won as a state and as a U.S. senator, and again even president, all through legal maneuvering, through lawyering. We've seen that even in the city of St. Paul here, last governors and some mayor's races all done on technicalities, and they all got out lawyers. And I want you to understand that. So, again, I'm not saying for Mitt Romney, against Obama, whatever that, but just know and vote who your values and core convictions are, and vote that, and know who your local representatives are. But when it comes to this, this is all coming to a cataclysm. It's all coming to a point, folks. America is turning against Israel, politically. Not just anti-Semitically, and it's playing into prophecy. How can that be? I want to give you a little bit of history as we close here tonight. As under this, we go through the book of Revelation, is this. Pastor Chuck Smith has even said that many people have come to him and said, hey, you want to teach? You want to be able to do the Word of God? Let's teach the Word of God. Simply teach the Word of God simply. These 80 million echo boomers, these kids, what do they need? The Word of God. Because pulpit after pulpit is leaving and abandoning the Word of God. And they're not teaching the Word of God. And I'm going to encourage you through the book of Revelation. This is an opportunity to invite young people to come all along, man. And I mean 12 to 17, 18, that's the young people. You're over that, you're a miracle if you even get saved. But understand this, let's simply teach the Word of God simply, and let us give the answers to this lost and this last generation that's going to be taking care of us if we make it. If God forbid, Lord tarries, and I have 596 months, or whatever, if I got 234 months left. But understand this, let's teach the Word of God simply, and simply just teaching the Word of God as we go through the book of Revelation. I'm not going to go through this tonight, but we're going to go through the book of Revelation. And how I'm going to teach it is equipping you to equip others to let them know. And it's all coming up. Look, in the Six-Day War in 67, America did not get involved, but threatened to get involved. Okay? And every sack bomber, Lyndon Baines Johnson, put everything in the air and everything was on DEFCON 4, whatever it is, the longest thing, and Russia backed off. President Kennedy did the same thing with the Cuban Missile Crisis there. He put everything, and you read his speech, he says, at this moment, you read the New York Times, and you go and you Googles it, at this time, the first part of his speech was, we have everything pointed to Russia right now. And he talked about this naval blockade. But the first paragraph is this, everything's pointed to Russia. We're not going to let this happen. In 67, the same thing, Russia tried to invade, America says, we're going to get in there. In the three-day war, with satellite imagery, the Kremlin calls up America, calls up the president, Nixon at that time says, we're going to go in via through Syria. This is our chance. Nixon, without going to Congress, puts everything in the air, pushes the button, basically, and everything's pointed towards Russia. They back down. America has to be neutralized for the enemies to take out Israel. That is what's going to be telling us in the book of Revelation. America's not in the Bible, folks. I know some people say Jerusalem and then it's USA. No, no. America's not in the Bible. Some speculate what are the coasts and the islands and things burning. We can allude to that. But America is not the world's salvation. I think the zenith of America was 1955. And after that, I think God just put America, my personal belief, to recognize Israel as a nation on May 14th, 1948. And if you look at the world's history and you look at 1955, the decline went down. And we've never, ever really gotten better. America will need to be neutralized again and taken out, and we can't do it. And we're overtaxed, aren't we? There's a mistrust. So what can we do? I encourage you to vote and do it again. Stave this off, but I'm telling you this. Let us lead people to Jesus Christ. Bring them to church on Thursdays. Let's study the Word of God and find out what God has for us as we go through the Word of God.